Okay, yes, this is the title, Directional Effects on Nonlinear Wave Focusing in Deep Water. And most of the work's actually been done by one of my graduate students, Richard Gibbs, who submitted his thesis last Friday. Okay, so we're interested in the formation of extreme waves on deep water. And I'm going to do chirp focusing in both frequency and direction. Whoops. Okay, so this is the sort of thing we're trying to explain. This is a surface elevation time history recorded off a Statoil oil rig in the Norwegian sector of the North Sea. HS of the sea state is about 12 meters and has a crest of 18.5 meters, which hit the deck, or at least Sir Harbour tells me to say minor damage was done to equipment at deck level. So they had real green water up on the deck of the rig, which no doubt frightened the operators considerably. A remarkable wave, enormously asymmetric vertically, troughs of 6 meters, a crest of 18, so 3 to 1 in vertical aspect ratio. Oops. Okay, BBC in the UK ran a program on freak waves recently and produced this pseudo picture. The disappearance of the German cargo ship, the Munchen, vanished in a big storm, brand new ship. Virtually brand new, latest design standards, just vanished. If you talk to ship's captains, they will tell you one of the things about freak waves is their walls of water. So what I'm interested in is, can I produce something which looks like a wall of water? Numerics from solving Laplace with the fully nonlinear boundary conditions, using a pseudo-spectral scheme, which, at least in 1D, was first written down by Craig and Sulem. If anybody's interested in the method, I hope Walter's in the audience somewhere and can bail me out. Extended to directional seas by William Bateman at Imperial College. Chris Swan was his supervisor and I helped as well. And this is actually the code that we're still running. It's been well validated against high-quality wave basin data, both flume and basin data for unidirectional and spread groups. So we're happy the scheme works nicely. Initial conditions for a fully nonlinear run, we need both frequency and directional information, and we're actually going to use the Gaussian spectrum, which is matched at least approximately to the peak of a Johns Rapp. So that's the frequency content. Directional spreading, well, if you look at measurements in fetch limited seas, you get spreading around the peak of the spectrum less than 20 degrees, so we're going to use a Gaussian wrap normal spreading distribution with an RMS of 15 degrees. So fairly narrow banded, fairly not strongly directionally spread. The initial condition is important, and one of the nice properties about starting with a linear random Gaussian model is your basis for the sea state is that there's a property which is written down first by Lindgren in 1970 and re-demonstrated by Bacotti in the 80s. The average shape of a large event in a linear random Gaussian process is proportional to the autocorrelation function. It's a very nice result because it links the average properties of the extreme to the average properties of the background. If you think about in a directionally spread sea what's going on, you must have frequency focusing to produce something that looks like the autocorrelation function. Because the wave fields are strongly dispersive in both time and, of course, because of the directional spreading. And what this actually means for realistic amounts of spreading and bandwidth is a few periods before wave focus, the group which is subsequently going to focus is strongly distributed over a large patch of ocean. So the early evolution of that group is close to linear, even if subsequently you get strong nonlinear effects. So that's my initial condition. A nice smooth group, Gaussian in X and Y. At least the envelope is close to Gaussian in X and Y. And it's rather small. It's spread out over a couple of kilometers, both longitudinally and laterally. And we're going to focus that. That's actually 20 piers before focus. On a linear basis, you get the waveform on the right, compact in both X and Y, and the envelope symmetric in both the downstream and the transverse direction. For this choice of parameters, crest of about 10 and trough side to side of the crest of about minus 8. Fully nonlinear. Euler. Fully nonlinear. This is what we get when we actually do a fully nonlinear run. We get a crest that's slightly taller. We get the large event has moved towards the front of the wave envelope. So there's no crest of any significance ahead of the really tall one. And the crest is, in the lateral direction, much broader. It's about a factor of 3 broader than you would get, allowing for just linear dynamics. So these are the features which I hope you'll be able to see in the animations that I show. We're showing simulations from minus 20 to plus 20 periods. We get rapid changes of the structure of the group close to focus. The group becomes much more unidirectional locally. There are strong nonlinear features which persist well beyond focus, and there are also lateral waves that go out sideways. So we're moving, we're flying in a helicopter, moving at the linear group velocity. The wave's focusing. You can see the countdown of wave periods to focus. So nothing very interesting has happened so far. The energy is beginning to concentrate. The group is now beginning to expand laterally and contract in the longitudinal direction. And we actually get peaks. We get a crest with 3 peaks on it, and now it's switched to 2. We're getting a lateral structure going up sideways now. Fully nonlinear. These are 512 by 512. So that's a view from in front. If we look at the view from behind the group, you can see the structure coming out sideways rather more clearly. It's periodic. Periodic. In both X and Y. Yeah. Well, we use Craig and Sulem's G operator to do that. You see this lateral structure here, which in this case is inclined at about plus or minus 30 degrees. Shorter wavelength as well here than the long center line. No, they're symmetric left, right, but not fore, aft. And I'll show you that in a moment. They're strongly asymmetric fore, aft. One of the things one might want to look at, might be interested in looking at, are the properties of the envelope. So what we've got here is left-hand side is linear evolution, the right-hand side is fully nonlinear, and we've got sections along the center line of the wave group, top 2 pictures, and planned views of the wave envelope, at least half the wave envelope, viewed from above. 0.25, at least that's what you would have got, AK, at the linear focus position. So reasonably nonlinear. So you can see the wave group shrinking as the energy concentrates due to the directional and frequency focusing. And on the right-hand picture, you can see the large crest moving towards the front of the group, so there's compression of the wave envelope to produce something that looks like a wall, at least in the envelope structure. Notice along the center line, we've almost got splitting of the initial group into 2. So we've got the main front, the wall, so to speak, and stuff which didn't actually really participate in the nonlinear focusing is left behind. I should have explained what red and black is. The black simulations are when we choose the initial phases to produce a tall crest. The red is when we choose the initial phases to produce a deep trough. And one of the properties of the fully nonlinear simulations is they're phase preserving vertically. What is a tall crest in one becomes a deep trough in the other. So the dynamics which are forming this structure can't tell crests from troughs. Okay, so just to make that, so close to the initial condition, focus defined as when we get the tallest crest, which has moved right towards the front of the group, and even at quite long times afterwards, this tall crest structure is really rather persistent. It doesn't want to disperse very quickly. So although this elevation is not much higher, allowing for the second order correction, than you get based on linear theory, it hangs around for really rather a long time. It's much more persistent than linear dispersion would predict. Yes, that's right. So these are just properties of the envelopes at different times. Blue is nonlinear and black is linear. So we get this formation of this very sharp front, very high gradients at the front of the wave group. Changes of the spectra, these are wave number spectra. Spectrum is initially Gaussian, and we get this resultant structure here with downshift of the peak of the spectrum and lots of components produced at higher wave number. And this is at plus 20 periods when the group is sufficiently dispersed that these changes are effectively frozen in. So there are global large-scale changes to the spectrum.
By
what I mean is that the vertical scale squared is power. Maximum steepness of the linear input condition is about 8k.25. Well, let me come on to that. One might argue that what we're seeing in terms of the change of the spectra is going to give rise, if you did enough of these interactions, to something that looks like that, the well-known splitting of the directional frequency spectrum at a high frequency. No, these simulations do not break. I mean, we can run cases that do break. No. This case is sufficiently small that these waves don't break. But if I run an AK of 0.33 or something, yes, of course, the simulation breaks halfway through, overturns halfway through. How much extra elevation am I getting? This is a plot of maximum elevation as a function of input steepness, and the case that I've been showing you is here somewhere. If one plots just the crest, peak crest anywhere in the calculation as a function of steepness, get the green curve. The yellow curve is the deepest trough. And if one is interested in group properties, the best property to look at is this one, because this takes out second order vertical asymmetry. And that's actually not very nonlinear. So we're not getting much extra elevation. A little bit right at the top up here. Actually, I should have said the curves stop here, because we can't calculate beyond that. That's where breaking occurs. Okay, so we've got something which you might think looks like a wall of water. At least we've got a wall as far as the envelope is concerned. And if you look at a snapshot of that, it looks pretty one-dimensional. The fact that the wiggles are, the dynamics are independent of the position of the wiggles in the envelope, really says that this sort of interaction is an odd-order interaction. And presumably it's dominated by third-order effects. What about envelope equations? Well, the simplest one is NLS. It's written down there. And the key point is the difference of the sign between the curvature terms in X and Y. If you do one-dimensional simulations of either the NLS or the fully nonlinear equations, you get strong focusing of a group, modular instabilities, or which can ride on the back of a chirp focus phenomenon. So you get group contraction and lots of extra elevation. So-called focusing solutions. If you've got lateral structure in, so you drop the extra derivative, so you've got that minus sign there, you get defocusing. Things become more long-crested. So there are no isolated solitons, they're just dark solitons. What happens in 2D, where you've got potential for something to happen in X and something to happen in Y? Well, you get a little bit of each, a little bit of either. You get focusing in X and defocusing in Y. As NLS solution in 2D, exactly the same initial condition as for the full simulations. Contraction, this is linear solution, contraction in the mean wave direction, rapid expansion of the envelope laterally. And being a lazy engineer, I discovered that Mathematica 5 will solve PDEs with a one-line command, at least this sort of PDE, which is very convenient. I should say, actually, it's a very nice paper, which is perhaps not as well known as it ought to be, published in Wave Motion in 1987 by Professor C.C. May, which shows results exactly like this. Yes, absolutely. So you get this moving forwards.
Yes.
But the dominant physics is expansion and contraction in two directions, and then you can argue this term also runs forwards. Okay, so how about processing the fully nonlinear solutions in terms of properties of the NLS? And one thing that we looked at is introducing a scaling parameter on bandwidth, amplitude and time scales, and those are the scalings. These were first written down by Peregrine, I think. Does that actually work for fully nonlinear solutions? Well, here's solutions at just before, just after, and a long time after focusing with different values of lambda. This is the base case that I've already shown you. It's a more broad-banded case and a more narrow-banded case with the amplitudes also adjusted. In each case, you get this contraction in the mean wave direction and the expansion laterally. Well, as Professor May said, you get this also the shifting forwards. The shifting forwards is clearly a function of amplitude, not amplitude and bandwidth. It's a group, nonlinear group property. But crudely, we're not doing too badly in terms of the NLS. Changes in the wave number spectra for these different scale cases. Well, that's the initial conditions, all suitably laying on top of one another. Focus, a downshifting, and rapid expansion to all sorts of new wave number components. And this is the what one can regard as the permanent shift of the wave number spectrum, with a significant downshift of the peak of the spectrum. In this case, of the order of 15% for the base case. If one varies the energy in the packet, essentially by fixing the bandwidths and scales the amplitude, one should get simple behavior. So this is for different lambda scalings. The decrease of local spreading angle, or the increase of the crest length at the focus precision as a function of the energy of the input group, and all the cases scale quite nicely, dropping from 1 down to 40%. For the contraction along the mean wave direction, or the increase of the local bandwidth, we're getting changes from 1 up to something like 4, and again, although the collapse is not perfect, we're getting changes of a factor of 3, plus or minus 15%, perhaps. So the NLS is telling us the useful things, even if it's not exactly quantitatively applicable, is basically what I've said here. NLS is third order. Scaling arguments seem to work quite well, but the NLS itself isn't quite good enough, quantitatively at focus, and of course at long times there are problems with energy leakage, but it's still quite informative. So in conclusion, 1D and 2D are dramatically different. In 1D you get strong inline focusing. It doesn't matter whether you start with a modular instability or a regular wave train or a chirp type function. You get contraction in the mean wave direction and extra elevation, even for low input steepnesses. For 2D, you need larger waves, but you still get strong focusing in the x direction, but now you get strong defocusing laterally, the extension of the crests. So nonlinear dynamics is rarer in 2D, but it's still relevant for the big waves. It depends how you define it. I mean, I'm talking about spreading angles of something like 15, 20 degrees. So how about some parameter which defines the freak potential of a C-state? So what I talked about so far, I'm happy. What I'm now talking about is speculation. People have started to talk about a Benjamin Fear index for a C-state, which is sort of balance between nonlinearity and bandwidth. Things are too broad-banded. It tends to overwhelm the nonlinear dynamics. Well, that's fine in 1D, but what about 2D? Because 2D, in the lateral direction, everything weakens. So one suggestion would be to try and base something on the conserved quantities for the NLS in 2D, of which I've written down two of them. The first one is essentially energy. The second one has got these derivatives of the envelope. So it's a balance of bandwidth and nonlinearity. But notice the minus sign. So X bandwidth focusing, Y bandwidth defocusing. This is just a suggestion. The nice thing about doing it in this form is that you end up with this, which gives the well-known 37 degrees for the disappearance of a soliton for the NRS. But I'll stop there.